Welcome back to Choreograph Your Life. For those of you tuning in for the first time, welcome to the show. I'm your host, Kelly Darty, founder and CEO of the KDS Collaborative, where we collaborate with you to help you to continue to choreograph your visions, your goals, and ultimately your success. Thank you guys so much for being here today. As part of the Inspired series, the theme of the week around the KDS Collaborative is improvise. And if you're anything like the hundreds of dance students I've had through the course of my career as a coach and choreographer, you may have actually just felt your body have some kind of a response to the word improvise. Maybe you just totally tensed up. Maybe you got excited. I don't know. But you probably had some sort of physical reaction to the word improvise. And I get it. Totally. But just to be clear, artists are not the only human beings in this world who have to improvise. Especially in our current situation, we have all had to do quite a bit of improvising. Some people, myself included, thrive off of improv. In fact, I tend to prefer it because it keeps me on my toes. And real talk, if I go into a situation with too much of a plan and things need to be improvised, that's where I start to get stressed. But I also know that I'm not necessarily the norm. And for most people, going into anything in life where there is a lack of control or a lack of a plan and you have to deliver content on the spot, that can be really stressful. So, in an effort to number one, remind you that you are not alone, and number two, show you how improvising in your life can actually be a lot of fun, we have another amazing guest joining us today by way of Zoom interview. As a reminder, while we are committed to bringing you the most motivational content we can at all times, socially distanced interviews can present some unforeseen delays or sound glitches, so we appreciate you continuing to be patient with us. Today's guest, Christina Pizzatella, is truly one of my favorite human beings. She is a wife, mother of two, elementary educator, bookworm, former head coach of the West Virginia University dance team, and she runs off of coffee and sarcasm, which is important for you to know because we are truly two peas in a pod. We are so honored to have her here with us today. Not only are you going to learn some great tips on how to improvise with ease, but you are also in for some laughs. So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, Christina Pizzatella. Woo! All right, welcome back, you guys, to Choreograph Your Life. I know you just heard her very fancy introduction, but here with me today, I have Christina Pizzatella. Hello, ma'am.
Hi, Kelly.
How are you today?
I am great. How are you?
I'm doing just fabulous. Thank you so much for being here today. I have been hoping to get you on this little podcast now for quite some time, so I'm glad that this all worked out.
Me too. Thank you for having me.
I'm particularly impressed that it worked out given the current circumstance and especially given what you do and everything that is happening at the Pizzatella household right now.
Yes, it is typically quite loud. So the fact that we have found some quiet to do this is pretty remarkable.
This is pretty remarkable. So just so everybody knows, and I know I just obviously gave you guys a little bit of background on her in the introduction, Christina is a teacher. And So we are in still the throes of the quarantine. So she is really having to improvise her entire life right now because not only is she a teacher, but she is a mother of two little ones. So I'm going to let her talk about that just a little bit. Christina, give us the vibe. What's going on? Where do you live? Where are you? Who are you? Tell me all the things.
Okay, so I live right outside of Morgantown, West Virginia. And I teach first grade, and we are currently on week 8, I think.
Holy moly.
Yeah, I've honestly lost count, so I could be off by a week or two, but I think we're on week 8 of distance learning. So we have totally just kind of had to upheave our typical instructional piece and revamp it to a way where our kids can access it. And that looks different for a lot of them. You know, we have kids without internet access. We have kids with brand new devices. We have kids who are working on devices that their parents used in college over a decade ago.
Oh, so my gosh.
Yeah, it's been very different. And then on the family end of things, I have a 5-year-old in kindergarten and then a 2-year-old who flies by the seat of his pants.
Wait, he hasn't worn pants in weeks.
I was going to say when he chooses to wear them. So, you know, we really have had to just change our whole vibe here at our household and within our professional lives. And, you know, improvise is the word for the week. And that's definitely something that we've had to do quite a bit. So,
and is Matt, your husband, working from home also?
Yes. So Matt is a landscape designer who works on a lot of commercial properties. And so his whole entire job right now has been moved to our basement. He's doing all of his design work. He's logging in remotely to their area at work on site. So he's doing that from our basement. And then he's also doing like Zoom meetings with his clients to try to get an overview of the areas that he'll be working on.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So, you know, our whole life has just been moved to the four walls, you know, the four exterior walls of our home. So we've had to make some adjustments for sure.
Yeah. You guys have made, yes, everybody's had to make some adjustments, but I, so everyone knows Christina and I have talked a lot throughout the course of this quarantine, both on the phone and via Zoom and FaceTime. And I just have to give you so much just props because you guys are always just seemingly anyway, in a good mood and you found ways to remain engaged with each other and obviously with your kids and still maintaining some sense of normalcy.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. So, you know, my husband and I, we've been married we just celebrated our, oh my gosh, 60th anniversary. That's bad. We just celebrated our 60th anniversary. And, you know, we got married kind of young and had kids right away. And so we didn't always prioritize one another. And so, you know, everyone's like 2020, new year, new goals. And so something that we really wanted to prioritize this year was each other. And so we set this goal for at least 12 date nights in 2020. And like January rolled around, we were doing great. February, like Valentine's Day. And then March, boom,
COVID,
you're home, you can't leave. So we really had to get creative in ways to just spend time with each other and continue to try to make that relationship our priority. So we have to work at it definitely every day. But for the most part, the vibe around here is positive and happy and, you know, as much as we can be. So we're doing well considering.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. So they've been having like restaurant nights where they actually make their own menus and it's just super cute.
Yeah. So for our anniversary, we had planned to go to Pittsburgh. They were going to do a tequila and taco and margarita festival. And we were super, super looking forward to that. And obviously it's been postponed to a later date. And so we were like, you know what, we're still going to do that. So we totally improvised. We got our own things to make our margaritas. We got takeout and did tacos. And so, you know, we still did it despite the circumstances. So that's something that I'm proud of for sure.
Yes. And you should be because, you know, there's so many things that people were looking forward to and they had to shift and they had to, you know, either they got canceled altogether or, you know, it's shifted back to a later date or what have you. And I think a lot of people have sort of lost a little bit of hope in that. So the fact that you guys have been able to improvise to still have a similar experience and maybe not exactly the same, but you're still having fun and you're still being positive about it. And, you know, you'll look back on it someday and be like, oh, that was kind of cute. You know, never that you'd want to go back probably to that time, but
right.
You know, but you're doing what you can. And yeah, you should be so proud of that. So let's talk a little bit more about how you got into teaching.
Okay. Yes. So I, from a young age, I've always just like loved helping people. I don't know if you've like done an Enneagram test or anything, but I'm an Enneagram 2, which is the helper.
Okay.
And so yes. And so growing up, I've just always loved helping and being around people. And it also helps. I have drawn inspiration from a lot of incredible teachers that I've had from elementary school all the way up through college. And when I entered college, I actually entered as an exercise physiology major.
Okay.
Because I was really interested in, you know, the mechanics of the body, being a dancer. And I wanted to understand how all of that worked. And I had goals of becoming a physical therapist. And my first semester, I was just so unhappy. I felt like I was learning things that I was interested in, but I didn't have a purpose necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really had to like enter this period of reflection of like, you know, what is my purpose? What do I want to do? What do I want to be? And what do I want to bring, you know, to the table to make the world a better place? And I just kept falling back on wanting to help people and wanting to support people and wanting to be that same role model that I had growing up. And so I changed my major after my first semester and I never looked back. So I'm in my 7th year of teaching now. And each year is a new adventure. And so
of
I feel
course.
Like, yeah, so I feel like I don't get burnout. And when I feel that period of burnout coming, I switch gears, I switch roles. So I definitely have chosen the right career path for me.
Have you always taught first grade?
No. So I actually, I taught special education for my first 4 years. Yep. And I was able to work with a variety of grade levels in that role. I worked with students in first grade up through fourth grade. And then I taught second grade for 1 year, and I am finishing up my second year in first grade.
Awesome. And do you have, I have to know, because, you know, you talk about, obviously you danced and you were exercise and science and so on and so forth. Do you have a favorite subject at this point to teach?
So I actually, that's kind of like a loaded question with elementary, because every subject, I guess, is kind of integrated with one another. So I really like teaching reading, but that's mostly because I feel like I love to read. Mm-hmm. And I grew up a speech kid and a drama kid. And so,
yeah,
right. Shocker. So I really get to bring that into my reading instruction. So, you know, every week is a new theme with a new, like based around a different book. And I really get a kick out of like getting into the characters and bringing the stories alive, you know?
A fly on that wall.
Oh my gosh. My kids just look at me and they just shake their heads. They're like, oh, okay, here we go. but I also really enjoy teaching about like, the social emotional stages of learning.
Oh, okay.
Like really important to teach our younger kids how to name their emotions and how to overcome big emotions. Because, you know, 6 and 7 year olds have all these big emotions that they don't know what to do with. So I like to integrate the social emotional skills within my teaching.
That's so interesting. I never would have thought that that was a thing. Kelly, who doesn't have children and can't remember when she was in first grade. But yeah, that's obviously such a huge part of their socialization and, you know, just growing up in general. It's so interesting.
When I feel like, especially, you know, education up to this point has kind of shifted from like, especially elementary wise, from being play-based to being so academic driven, you know, we're starting like testing younger and younger, and we're, you know, expecting them to come into kindergarten knowing all of these things when, you know, when you and I were in school, we were just like play in the house. And
kids. Yeah, I was like definitely licking glue and running amok.
I was like in Billy Madison putting glue on my face. Like, but yeah, so, you know, that's why I really like to focus on those social emotional skills because I feel like some of that has been lost.
Yeah.
So that's really important to me. And it also helps that I have a 5-year-old. So I see what she goes through. And that definitely helps me.
So will you have her in school? Will she be in your class?
Absolutely not. There. Like, no. She and I are so similar. And so I am admittedly extremely stubborn. And she is that times two. So she and I would not.
That's not going to happen, huh?
No, we would not make it through.
How many grades how many classes are there?
Typically about 3.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes we have 4. Yeah. So she'll
it's a pretty big school.
It is. It's a big school. It's a great school. I'm really lucky to work where I do.
Milan Park Elementary, not Milan, folks. Milan. I did a career week for them, just a little career week interview. And I was like, hi, Christina, how do I say this? Is it Milan or is it Milan? She's like, oh, Kelly.
Oh, here we go.
Well, I didn't want to get it wrong. You know, the kids would think I was just a fake and a phony. So.
It was that lady.
So yeah, exactly. So could you tell us a little bit about before you started teaching, where you went to school? Obviously you've talked to us about your major, but yeah. You know.
So I went to, super proudly, went to West Virginia University, go Mountaineers. I feel like if anytime you meet somebody from West Virginia or anytime you go anywhere, period, you are bound to find somebody that graduated from WVU. our fan base is, you know, wide and all over the world. So very proud to be a Mountaineer. I went there for my bachelor's and my master's. And okay. While I was there, I was in a sorority and I also was on the WVU dance team.
Woo!
Oh yeah, which is like my favorite memories from college. That experience like molded me into the person that I currently am. And it also really reminded me. So, you know, I talked about how my first semester I was in a major that I wasn't happy in. And, you know, one of the things that made me want to change my major to elementary education was the fact that, you know, through the dance team, I was an ambassador for the university. And so I got to work with children all the time and it just, you know, like made my heart swell. And so that experience was definitely the best experience that I had in college, hands down.
And just, you know, putting this out into the world, they did win a national championship when she was on the team.
I'm so sorry.
Two.
Yes. I mean, talk about the glory days. So.
Talk about the glory days. Man, I miss those days on the band shell, just living my best life.
For sure. So those were definitely, I mean, that's where I learned time management. That's where I learned, you know, how to be a teammate and how to be a leader and you know, and super invaluable experiences. You know, so, and then I was lucky enough to continue on as an alumni to help them out and then ended up coaching.
That's what I was just going to say. Yeah. So you then went on to, you would kind of, you know, consult with them and what have you as an alumni, but then you coached the team for how long?
I did. I coached the team for 3 years and you know, that was never, talk about improvising. I mean, that was never the plan for me. And it's mostly because like I struggled with self-worth a lot. Like I have like a little bit of imposter syndrome, you know, like, am I good enough for this? Is this something, because the coaching position came open actually, I want to say a year or two after I graduated. And I didn't even attempt. I didn't even go for it because I totally had imposter syndrome.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It was sort of like, am I good enough for this? You know, they wouldn't want me, you know, just that's like really struggled with that self-doubt. And so, in 2016, I went in and I helped clean their nationals routine right before they went. And then I got a call that they were looking for a new coach and they wanted me to apply. And I was like floored, you know?
Yeah.
So it was totally not like if, when I was 20 years old, if I would have written out my life plan, that would have not been in the cards, but you know, none of what's happened to me in the decade really has been. So it was like a huge surprise and an even bigger blessing.
So your little kids were really little kids at that point.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So William, wasn't even born when I took over as coach. So Leah was two. Yeah. Leah's actually the first pair of jazz shoes that she actually put on, was at a practice for the dance.
Yes.
Yes. So super proud. And then I had William the summer that my second year of coaching started.
So that in and of itself, folks, is an improvisation of mass proportion, because how did you manage all of that? I'm always so, my mind is always so blown by the coaches that can juggle all of it.
Oh yeah. So, I mean, he was my assistant to the assistant coach. He came with me to every practice from the time that he was 5 days old.
Wow.
Yes. So I would have the front carrier and he would be in it and I'd be trying to demonstrate choreography or something. And his poor little head would just be like, boop, boop, you know, be bopping around. But he just was a genuinely calm, chill baby. And I really attribute, mm-hmm. Having to be flexible. I really attribute him being so calm, his demeanor being calm, to the fact that he was just on the go with mom all the time.
Sure.
And I got pregnant with him that first year coaching. So in my belly, he was just constantly hearing music over and over and over and over again. So he's a little guy who just loves to move and loves to dance.
Oh, I love that. Is there that particular national song? Have you ever played it to see if he has any recognition of that time of life?
No, I haven't.
Maybe that should be a fun quarantine experiment.
It should be.
what were you guys dancing to that at that point?
We did Defying Gravity that year.
Oh, bring yeah. it.
Yes. Yes. So he totally is going to be a musical buff.
I feel.
So it's just in his blood.
Yeah. And I feel like he can hit that high note at the end right now, probably.
He's just Idina Menzel part two, basically.
Pretty much. That's who he is as a person. Idina Menzel minus the pants.
Yeah. Right. Right.
He's my spirit animal. He's the cutest.
Oh my gosh. He is just something else.
He truly, truly is.
But I totally agree with what you're saying. I see all these collegiate coaches and high school coaches also, but just totally rocking the parenthood and the coaching. That's why I ended up only doing 3 years, because I just felt like I was not giving enough in every aspect of my life. I felt we talked earlier about my husband and I talking about wanting to work on one another. And, I didn't feel like I was giving enough as a wife, and I didn't feel like I was giving enough as a mom. I didn't feel like I was giving enough as a teacher and as a coach. And so that for me was a hard lesson.
And some people probably it's not even a time management thing. It's just it's a personal thing of, mm-hmm. are you content with the amount that you're giving to each thing? And if you are, then cool. But if you're not, then you make the right choice by deciding, okay, maybe I need to step back.
Yeah. And so I had, that year that was my last season, which is the year that you and I met. I had told the girls in June, hey, this is going to be my last year. And here's why. It's not because I don't love you, and it's not mm-hmm. because I don't want to be here, because I do, but it's because I feel like I can't, I felt like somebody else could come along to take that program to the next level. So a little bit about, the WVU dance team, for people listening who don't know, is that they are totally funded on their own. Mm-hmm. you know, they compete at the national level. They dance at football games, basketball games, any event that they're asked to do. They don't get scholarships. They don't have it. You know, they have a couple sponsorships, but for the most part, I mean, these girls are busting their butts and paying tons of money to do so. Mm-hmm. And so I felt like they could be taken to the next level by somebody who didn't also have a family and a husband and a full-time job. So that was a hard conversation. But I think it was the right one.
Yeah. And I think that the fact, I mean, I'm like you, I've left a coaching job as well. And mm-hmm. I struggled with the timing piece, like when's the right time to tell them. But I think if you tell them at the beginning of the season, which is kind of like what you did, I think if you surprise people with that kind of information, like that doesn't really ever set super well. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you don't have a choice, obviously, right, but if you have the opportunity like you did and like I did to say like, okay, you know, this is going to be the last hurrah, and they can kind of adjust to the idea of you leaving and, you know, take every practice and every nationals and so on and so forth as kind of like, I don't want to say sad because this is our last year, but you know, they almost appreciate it more probably. Mm-hmm. And so you did that right. I think.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. I'm so grateful to still have great relationships with them. And, you know, it's a family, and they literally helped me raise my kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it'll always be a part of my life for sure.
Well, those are some of the hardest working, most talented, just lovely human beings that I have ever met. Those girls.
Preach it, sister. I mean, these kids are just
like
incredible.
And we don't just say that, you know, I have had the opportunity to work with them now 2 years, which, so I don't know them super well. And you obviously have known them much longer, but you know, any experience that I've ever had coming in and working with them, they are just so polite and they work so hard. The first time that I ever met them, I was like, hi, it's okay to smile and like not be nervous.
Yeah. I mean,
they were just, and it's not because they were being, you know, rude or anything like that. They're just so focused mm-hmm. and they're so, they want to please and they want to get it right for themselves. And, you know, they are athletes, man. They are there for a job, and it's they're pretty cool group of girls, I should say.
I agree, and they're just like, you know, the epitome of what a team should be. You know, they're all there like for one common goal, and they work mm-hmm. for that together. And
they really do. And then after you kind of get to know them, and you know, they kind of let go of the whole the athleticism and like the perfectionist of it all. They're just goofballs.
Oh yeah. Stone cold pack of weirdos. I mean,
totally weird group.
Like, but that's what makes them so
100%
incredible.
I love it. I love it so much. So, obviously you probably all know that their nationals was actually canceled this year due to COVID-19. So, they've been having still a lot of Zoom meetings and a lot of, team bonding, and their social media has been awesome. And they've just been doing a lot of things to continue to be positive and kind of improvise the rest of their season. And, at one point the new coaching staff did invite Christina and I to a Zoom meeting. If you would like to, tell the people about how that went.
So Kelly and I are
stupid.
So stupid. You know, I think like throughout, you know, so lots of people are handling this current situation lots of different ways. And so like for me and for you also, it's helpful to just kind of like let loose and just, not make light of this, because it's not something that should be made light of, but just kind of make the best of it. So,
sure.
You know, we were like, how should we handle this? Should we go on and be inspirational? Should we go on and have an event session? And we arrived at the conclusion that no, we should dress up and do a skit, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Pretend to be in Daytona Beach, Florida, and present them with Phony Awards. So that's exactly what we did. I mean, full-blown character from one theater kid to another.
It was the weirdest thing I've ever done, but I'd never take it back.
No, my custom-made name tag is still in my nightstand.
So. Do you think I'm not wearing that right now? You are out of your mind. No, but you're so right. Everybody's dealing with it differently, and I think that every once in a while this is such a serious matter, of course it is, it's okay to kind of cut loose a little bit and just do things to make you smile and make you happy. And I think that we were successful. They all thought it was funny. So that's good. Or at least they pretended to. They were probably like, these stupid women.
Pictures of us to blackmail us later.
100%. So prior to COVID-19, then, yes. What did your day look like in terms of, you know, start to finish? How'd you choreograph it?
So my day, I always start it early, no matter what. I like to work out first thing in the morning because I feel like it really kind of sets the stage for a positive and a successful day. So I would get up like at the crack of dawn.
Yeah, I'd like to mention something about that. I share activity with her on my watch, and there would be moments where that would like wake me up in the morning, and I'm like, ugh, I got to do something about this. I got to stop sharing. And then I never did. So thank you for the wake-up call with your productivity.
Yeah, like 5:15 a.m.
I'm like, seriously?
Up and moving. Because then I had to get myself ready. And then my kids are up at 6:30. And we're eating breakfast and probably, honestly, yelling at each other more often than not. Because we had to get out the door.
Everybody's just screaming.
Just like, I mean, just, we talked about noise. It's just noise all the time. So, you know, I'm in the car by 7:15. I drop William off at daycare. Leah comes to school with me. And then, you know, I teach a full day from our instructional day. Well, our work day starts at 8:00. Instructional day starts at 8:30. Mm-hmm. And then we go till 3:45. And then, typically I, you know, was tutoring after school for a little while. And then some days I have to rush to get Leah to dance or to a different extracurricular. You know, my husband, so like I said, we live right outside of Morgantown, but my husband works in Bridgeport, West Virginia. So that's okay. like a 40 minute commute. So it's on me most days to get the kids to all the places.
Right.
So it was just like a lot of scheduling, a lot of structure, a lot of, you know, if we're late by 5 minutes, our whole day is thrown off. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we get home. Matt doesn't get home till like 5:30. So it's like a late dinner, bath and bedtime. And then he does his workouts like a normal human at night. And I have, you know, that's when I typically, when I was coaching, that would be my time to either go to practice or clean, like do all the cleaning work at home. But this past year it's been filled with, I'm working on my national board certification.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. For teaching. And so all of like my evening time prior to COVID had been focused on certification work.
Gotcha. Nice. So obviously that has all totally shifted.
Now. Oh yeah. Yeah. And it shifted in good ways and it shifted in bad ways. So, you know, on the positive side, I mean, prior to this, like, you know, my day was choreographed literally from 5:15 a.m. until 10 p.m. I mean, every day, but like Friday, Saturday.
Isn't it so nuts? Just like, and this was not that long ago that this was happening, but now I think about days like that and I'm like, why, what were we all doing that was so important that we needed to schedule ourselves so tight? And don't get me wrong, like, obviously, you know, you want the extracurriculars, you want the coaching and whatever, but like, I, maybe it's just because now I'm experiencing what life is like as like maybe a lot of people do. And I'm like, how nice that at the end of the day, people sit down and watch TV.
Right. I feel the same way. You know, like what was so important that we had to spread ourselves so thin and like carry this weight and carry this anxiety if we didn't get X, Y, or Z done, you know, like that's a long day. That's a long day.
Yeah.
And so now, I mean, the biggest thing is just like time. Like I have time to just, and you know, my day doesn't start now till like 7, which is great. Yeah. And you know, we just have time to kind of network with people. And mm-hmm. I mean, I've spent more time on like Zoom calls and FaceTime and playing games like with friends than I have in literal years.
Sure.
So those are the positives, like the time spent with each other, the extra time with my friends, the extra time with my family. You know, I feel like I'm kind of getting a second chance, like to watch my kids grow up, especially because that for, you know, those first couple of years, I was coaching too. And so I was gone out of the house on Saturdays and Sundays sometimes also. So I really feel like I've been given a second chance to kind of watch them grow, which is, I'm so grateful for.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. But the downside is that there's just all of this new to navigate, you know, trying to teach and trying to, you know, my students and trying to teach my daughter and trying to keep my son busy and help my husband out because, you know, his work is different where he can't necessarily be parenting like I can all day long because, you know, he's working and manipulating and designing. And so it's been hard to shift. So a typical day right now kind of looks like, you know, I still get up. I try to get up before the kids just because I feel like it's really important to have a little bit of time to myself before the day starts. And then, you know, I check in with my families. I'm doing Zoom lessons with my first graders 3 times a week. And then I'm trying to teach Leah the things that her teacher is giving to us. And again, I'm super thankful because we teach at a school, where they are not requiring an overabundance of things. And honestly, when I get overwhelmed, we just stop. And that's the same, that's the advice that I've given my parents. Like if you are overwhelmed or if your child is overwhelmed, stop, you know, it's been different, like good things and bad things. But I've definitely had to be flexible. Mm-hmm. And I definitely have to be forgiving.
Sure.
You know, to myself and to my kids and to my students. And it's been worrisome a little bit because there are some families that I don't hear from a whole lot. And that worries me.
So well, sure, because your kids are like, they, you know, they become almost your own children. And mm-hmm. I'm sure it's, and I know I've heard my other teacher friends say too, like they miss their students so much. I'm sure you have to just miss them so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the saddest thing. You know, earlier this week I went in to start closing up the classroom. And like the date on the board still said March 13th, 2020. And
was that just like so weird? That had to have just felt like you were in like a time warp.
Yeah. It like gutted me. Cause I'm just like, oh, you know, I feel kind of like, we're all getting gypped a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know?
So, and it's really easy. It's easy for me to kind of fall into that, like that, that feeling of like loss, and we've lost this, and you know, we've got a Disney trip next month that we're probably gonna have to cancel.
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say you might need to think about rescheduling that given what I know about theme park land.
I know. So it's super easy for me to focus on like that loss, and so I just have to like be very mindful of the fact that like that's not important, you know? So I've had to practice a whole lot of like staying positive and thinking about like what I can do to control this. Cause like, I mean, I feel like every dancer or choreographer or artsy person is a little bit of control mm-hmm. freak.
Yeah. Know? Oh, just a little.
Yeah. I mean, that's the part of our brains that makes us, you know, love performing, but it also makes us need some control. Mm-hmm. And there is like none.
Nope.
You know, right now there's none. So.
So how are you, I'm laughing because I'm just thinking if I were in this position, but I know you have totally different training and handle on this situation, but how on earth do you keep a Zoom room full of first graders engaged in anything that you're doing?
Oh my gosh. It is so funny. I have parents messaging me like, I don't know how you do this. I will be completely honest with you. It is going to have to, it's going to be very difficult to transition back to traditional schooling without the use of the mute button.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
I have super enjoyed being able to do that. But no, I mean, again, like the biggest thing I want to do is like continue to give them a sense of community.
Yeah.
And so I don't really structure a whole lot. We've done like virtual field trips to the San Diego Zoo. Yesterday we did a directed draw for Mother's Day. It was like a portrait for Mother's Day.
Oh, fun. That's cute. Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, kids, what do kids give their moms for Mother's Day? Always something that they made in school. And so we don't have that. And I feel like moms have really like taken on a million different jobs right now. So
mm-hmm. Yes.
I wanted to try to do something to honor them. But it definitely, I mean, I improvise 95% of the Zoom meetings with my 7-year-olds because they're just, they'd be like, hey, I got a Barbie today. And then they'll spend like, you know, 10 minutes about the Barbie. I'm like, okay, like, here's the tiger at the San Diego Zoo.
Yeah. You're like, hello, come back.
Right. Right. So it's a lot of redirection.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh gosh. I can only imagine. I mean, I have been having a lot of Zoom calls with friends and it's hard enough to like wrangle adults in.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Agreed. Well, and then, I mean, I have to give props to like all of the dance teachers that are teaching via Zoom right now.
Oh my gosh, same. So many props. I'm clapping for you.
Yeah, I mean
all the time.
So my daughter's studio is doing that and they're killing it. And I sit downstairs and I watch and I listen and they're like, okay, stop eating a snack or like, okay, you know, because they can't control what's going on in the home. So major props to all you dance teachers out there.
So, like I can't, so, you know, I'm not teaching at a studio, like a specific studio at this point mm-hmm. in my life. And, which is something that I have missed a lot this year, just the connection with the kids and, you know, whatever, but sure. I do not miss it right now because I don't think that I would be really great in a Zoom teaching moment because I don't know that I would have the patience for all of the things that are happening in the whole experience, you know, cause you're right. You have things that they can't control that are going on in their homes and, you know, Wi-Fi going in and out. And, you know, I would want very much to be patient, but I just feel like it would send me over the edge. And I'm sure that so many of the teachers have to feel that way.
I'm sure. Yeah. I mean, I have friends, two really close friends right now who are teaching classes via Zoom and they, you know, they're like, man, I don't, like when's recital, you know, like when is the end? And I think that's something that a lot of people are struggling with, dance teacher or not, like the end of all of this.
Cause there I know.
Really is like nothing, you know, there's, we're trying,
yeah.
But you know, there's no real finite answer to like, when can we get our lives back? And so I think, that's something that a lot of people have had to deal with and to make adjustments to as to their expectations.
I just think though, you know, it gives me personally so much like hope and excitement to see everybody, all teachers everywhere, not just dance teachers, but just teachers in general, coaches, everybody banding together, just trying so hard to make sure that people don't lose their passion and fire for things, even though they're probably over it, like over teaching on Zoom, over this, over that, like everybody's still doing it anyway without knowing the end in sight. And that's just so refreshing to see.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I think Kelly, I have to give you props because I feel like you've done a really good job at trying to keep that fire lit under people and the people that you network with and the people that you work with. To give you major props, you know, you've been doing dance classes for people, and I hadn't taken a dance class in a long time, like for myself. And so I appreciate that for sure.
Well, you know, thanks. That's nice of you to say. I think that as a coach and as a teacher, as I'm sure you do too, you know, it's kind of like, whether they realize it or not, I feel like it's my responsibility almost just to be able to give that to students and give it to people, because, you know, it's so hard, like you were talking about earlier, to fall into the negative of things. And trust me, like I have had days too, where I just have been a kind of a disaster, but you know, we all just have to help each other so much, because everybody's just really like improvising this whole thing together. And, you know, I think that the idea of we're all in this together is a nice sentiment, but I mentioned this before, but we're not really, like everybody's in it differently. So I just think it's everybody's responsibility to kind of show each other grace and help pick up the pieces as they fall for people. And, you know, I know so many people have done that for me too. So it's a team effort.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I saw that there's a graphic floating around about, you know, not everyone right now is in the same boat. And mm-hmm. So, you know, like you were saying, it's really important to kind of like find your why and find your kind of purpose and put that out to whomever you can reach. Even if it's just checking in on a friend, or, you know, like you're doing dance classes, or, you know, me calling parents just to say, hey, I think that's something that's going to end up being very positive about this is,
yeah,
you know, we're all kind of doing the best that we can. And I think we kind of have to understand that the best we can right now is enough.
And sometimes the best that you could do is dress up like an NDA staff member and present an award to a Zoom room full of people.
You're totally right. You're totally right.
Sometimes that's just all you can do. So what would you say, lastly, is the biggest piece of advice that you would give to other fellow teachers, business owners, married people, whatever you would like to speak to on how they can continue to navigate and improvise their way through COVID-19?
So I feel like, you know, I actually have been reflecting on this a lot myself, because I feel like social media right now is just flooded with a lot of good and a lot of like perfection, you know, and, mm-hmm. and with all of our added time, I feel like it's very easy to look at that and to compare.
Yeah, you're so right.
Yeah. And so I was like feeling really down on myself, because I'm seeing these teachers doing like incredible things, like transforming their houses into their classrooms, or driving by to spend time with every student. And I am in awe of those people. And I'm in awe of the moms who are creating these like crazy hands-on experiences for their kids. And again, like, wow, but that's not me. And so I need to, and my advice for people is to kind of adjust your definition of like what's normal.
Right.
You know? 'Cause like none of this is normal right now. And just like giving yourself some grace.
And, yeah.
You know, like I talked a little bit about earlier about like self-worth. And I just feel like it's, you know, reminding yourself, starting your morning, like every morning, just like reminding yourself three ways that, you know, you've been successful, or three ways that you're bringing something to the table, and just trying as best as you can just to stay positive.
Love that. And it's so true, because it is really hard to start comparing. And, you know, you're comparing yourself to other teachers, and I'm sure that there are, you know, people who are comparing themselves to other people body type wise, or like,
oh my gosh, yeah.
Food. I mean, so full disclosure, you know this, but folks out there, I have a TikTok. But like, and I say that it's silly and it's hilarious to look at, but you know, some of the girls and the guys too on TikTok, they're, you know, and don't get me wrong, like I know that I am no longer in my 20s, but my goodness, like it'll get in your head a little bit when you're like, that I have seen 17 people with an 18 pack stomach. you know? Right. And like, yes. And that's, and it's hard. And that's just one example, and not to say that you should have that or I should have that, but you know, it's everything. And you see the perfectionism and you see all of that on the internet. And because we have the time, it's like highlighted even more. And so you're so right to be able to wake up in the morning and take a minute to reflect on, you know, what's great about you and where your successes have been. And, you know, what are you thankful for? And what's great in your life is so important right now.
Yeah. And then I think, you know, that reflection piece, like, yes, in the morning, but then also again, before you go to bed, like, sure. what's something that I did today that was better than yesterday? Mm-hmm. And maybe it's like, I brushed my hair or
I showered today.
Right. Or I like wiped off my table, you know, as little as it is, like celebrating those little wins, mm-hmm. Because it is, that's important.
It's very important. It's very important. Well, I so appreciate you coming on to the show today.
Thank you for having me.
Oh my gosh. Of course. You're one of my absolute favorite people on this planet.
Oh, same. I'm so glad that our paths crossed in the way that they did.
Oh my gosh. Me too. What would we have done during this COVID time if we hadn't had each other for all of these FaceTimes?
Truly, I don't know. I feel like we had this pandemic has really been exceptional for our friendship.
So. It truly has. I love that. So the other day I called her and Leah goes, is that Kelly? I've never met Leah. Is that Kelly again?
And then Will said, no, not Kelly.
Just like angry, put off and pantless.
That's going to be the title of his Instagram show one day.
Angry, put off and pantless. Yeah. I like it. It kind of has a nice ring to it.
Yeah, we'll write that one down.
Trademark. Well, thank you again so, so, so much for coming on. Everybody out there, I will see you back here. Same time, same place next week. Have an awesome day.